At the Table with Tony is brought to you by Trafe Hustlin. That's www.trafehustlin.com. Your home for all things barbecue.
Okay, I'm Francesco Alberto, I live in Farinoli in Westfield, and I'm here with At the Table with Tony.
Welcome to At the Table with Tony. I'm your host, Anthony Sciglia, but most of you know me as Tony Mangia. Come along with me as I visit the places, meet the people, and eat the food that make many communities in this great country Italian-American. On this episode of At the Table with Tony, we take a trip to Tuscany without the flight. When we visit Farinolio in Westfield, New Jersey, we sit down with its founder, Francesco Colbertaldo, and talk about all things Tuscan. Andiamo! Welcome to At the Table with Tony. I'm your host, Anthony Sciglia, better known as Tony Mangia. And today we're here at Farinolio, 121 East Broad Street in Westfield, New Jersey. And sitting across from me is Francesco Colbertaldo. Francesco, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Your restaurant is one of my favorite places. Really brings me to Italy. There's something about it here. As soon as I walk in the door, I hear the Italian music playing. I hear people speaking Italian. It gives me such great joy to come here. So I want to talk a little bit about what was the inspiration for Farinolio.
Was the schiacciata bread, which is our flatbread from Tuscany. That's what inspired me, because I missed that from my growing up in Italy. That was something that I would eat for breakfast, I would eat for lunch, that I would eat as a snack all the time. And I couldn't find it here the same way. So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to bring that product to the U.S.
So what is a schiacciata?
It's a flatbread made with just flour, water, and yeast, and then brushed with olive oil, extra virgin olive oil on top.
Is it, what would you compare it to, like a focaccia?
It's comparable to a focaccia. In fact, it's one of the variation of focaccias in Italy. There are many different ways to make the focaccia.
So this is a true Tuscan delicacy.
It is a Tuscan delicacy.
So let's talk a little bit about, so you are from Tuscany, you're from Florence, right?
Born and raised in Florence.
Okay,
yes.
So it makes sense then that the food here at Farinolio is inspired by your childhood and by your background.
That's correct. Because I love Tuscany. Mm-hmm. That's the place where I spend still most of my life. I moved to the U.S. about 26 years ago, but I'm still,
you're still a Tuscan
at heart. Very much Tuscan and Florentine.
Why did you decide to open Farinolio here in Westfield, New Jersey?
I was looking for a town in New Jersey, a town where people walk and
passeggiate,
because of what I envision. I said, hopefully one day I will see people eating the schiacciata the way Italians do.
Which
is walking and eating and going out and with this big sandwich in their hands. And so I said it'd be nice to see people walking in a little town. I couldn't see this place in a street mall, for example, or in a mall.
It doesn't translate.
I needed some residents that also to build a relationship with, which is what we've been doing, hopefully, with some of the residents here. So Westfield was a choice by, honestly, not mistake, but by really by chance. Mm-hmm. I was looking to open in Princeton Summit. I was looking at some of the towns in New Jersey. And then one day I had a meeting in Westfield with a realtor. And Tonino, our partner and baker, said, this Westfield actually looks nice. Why don't we look at Westfield? And that's how we decided to pick Westfield.
So here at Farinolio, just looking at the case, the food just looks absolutely amazing. I mean, these are some of the things I never even heard of before until I started coming here. So can you talk a little bit about some of the different types of foods that you make here that you can't find anyplace else?
So obviously, schiacciata is the main one, what I see as the king or the queen of the store, because that was the idea. We build everything around that product. So we fill it with different kind of meats and cheeses that we import from Italy. And again, we select the best of the best that we can find, because I believe that the key of a good product start with the quality of the ingredients. If you don't have good quality ingredients, the end product will be not as good as it should be. So then we added other savory and sweet products for breakfast and for lunch. For breakfast, for example, we came up with a product that didn't exist, and it's not really Tuscan, but we made it Tuscan to adjust without compromising too much to the taste.
So what is that? What is that product?
It's a focaccia con l'uovo, which is a focaccia bread that we put an egg on top, and we bake the egg, and we put
Some we make variation. We put some cheese in pancetta or ham, and that meets the taste of the American customers because they're used to eat eggs. Italians don't eat eggs. Not most Italians don't eat eggs.
What would be an Italian breakfast?
Italian breakfast is either if you're out and about, you go to a bar, what we call bar, which is obviously a coffee place. And eat a croissant or another sweet dessert and cappuccino or coffee. If you're home, most likely you would probably eat a slice of bread with butter and jelly, for example. That would be...
So kind of like what we're used to here in America, bacon, eggs, omelets, pancakes. It's really more of a...
Right. To eat, if you move north of Italy, close to Austria, for example, you'll see more on the table than in other parts of Italy. For example, and that's the beauty of Italy, because every region you go, you'll find different customs. You'll see ham, you'll see cheeses, you'll see eggs. So you'll see a lot of different things, like, they're closer to German and Austria in terms of habits. If you go to the south, you'll find also different. For example, my parents were both born in Sicily. So as a kid, I used to go to Sicily every year. And my breakfast would be a brioche col gelato, which is like sweet roll filled with gelato and panna, which was my favorite, chocolate and panna. So, and that was breakfast.
Yeah.
So something that people, even in northern Italy, say, really, you eat gelato for breakfast? You're crazy. So.
And I think that really is one of the beautiful things about Italy, is that really the food is regional. But it's also, even within the region,
yes. There
are different recipes and different preparations. So, for example, you brought over, let me see if I'm saying this right, a scacciata all'uva.
All'uva.
So, which is something that is even like a micro recipe to a region in Tuscany. Can you explain a little bit about the idea behind this scacciata all'uva?
No, so scacciata all'uva use the same mix that we use for, the same dough that we use for scacciata all'olio. But it's sweet, so we add, and it's a special recipe from Tonino, the baker, and our partner. So it's grapes, walnuts, and rosemary. And it's mixed with extra virgin olive oil and then sugar on top. It's a product that's usually available in Florence and surrounding areas in part of the Chianti area during the grape harvest when they make wine. So it's late August through the end of December, and then they don't make it anymore. And it's always there, so people from other parts of Tuscany may not even know that if they've never been in that area. And, of course, other parts of Italy, they have no idea. Another product, since we're talking about products, is Schiacciata alla Fiorentina,
okay,
which is also another seasonal product and Florentine. It's something that you make for Carnival, so in February.
Okay.
And we actually, it's seasonal here as well, so we only make it in February.
So what is a scacciata al fiore?
It looks like almost like a sponge cake with sugar on top, but
okay,
it's not a sponge cake. It's very, very tasty and very good. I don't know if you ever try, but you should,
okay,
because it's really tasty.
And what, is it filled or is it?
In Florence, we don't like to eat that filled.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't, so they just eat the schiacciata as is. Here, we filled it with, we have two versions, and one we fill it with crema chantilly or just custard. So
okay,
crema chantilly, what we call chantilly, which is inaccurate from gastronomic standpoint, what we call chantilly in Florence is custard and whipped cream mixed together. Or we use just custard.
Okay.
And otherwise, just plain. The way that it should be eaten. That's the way that I like. I used to eat one by myself.
How big?
It's like a half a sheet of plate. So
I want to talk a little bit about the ingredients that you're using here at Farinolio. So Francesco, tell us a little bit about what makes the products here very special. What is it about where you're sourcing your ingredients from?
So I think to make a good product, you need to start with great ingredients, because everything starts with ingredients, and then combining them in the right way, in the right proportions, and with the skills that are required to make a good product. But again, the key, if you don't have good quality ingredients, the end product will be mediocre, and I wouldn't like it, and I wouldn't eat it that way. So we look and we found most of products that we use in Italy, and so are imported. And it's not just the fact that are imported, but we pick the best that we can find and we can import. Because you can import a lot of different things from Italy, substandard, and the quality not be good. So we are, again, I'm looking after my taste, mm-hmm. and I'm very picky in terms of eating. So I like the best things in life when I eat, and the best quality that I can find, and clean. So I don't like chemicals, I don't like preservatives, I don't like any junk in my food. So flour come from northern Italy. We have two mills that we use right now. The extra virgin olive oils come from Tuscany, from a little town outside of Florence, San Casciano, and it's the best oil that we... It's one of the oil that has won a lot of awards in Italy, not just Tuscany, so it's a great, phenomenal product. We also... purify the water in the store because we believe again in the quality of the ingredients. So we have a system that purifies the water, removes all the junk that is in the water, or 95% of the junk that is in the water. So metals, minerals, you know, and then we put the minerals back, and we adjust the pH based on the for baking or making coffee. So the meat we use, like prosciutto, is a Tuscan prosciutto, so very different from the Parma or San Daniele, so it tend to be more savory, more salty, and then the meats that we the mortadella, for example, and prosciutto cotto, we use some of the best that you can find in Italy from Rovagnati.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very selective every time. All the ingredients are carefully selected by me, and then we ask our staff to try before mm-hmm. we buy a product. So.
The other interesting thing, you make these cacciata sandwiches, right?
Yes.
And all of them are named after, I'm going to totally screw up the name, Macchiaioli.
Perfect.
Yep.
Macchiaioli.
Let me make sure I get this right. So Macchiaioli was a style of painting?
It's a group. It's a new group of painters that innovate the painting. So they kind of leave behind the traditional way of painting of the 1800 in the 1800, and they completely use light, shade, so a mix of light and shade to give the impression. So they're very similar to the Impressionist, if you want. In fact, they precede Impressionism.
Really?
Although the Impressionism is very famous and Macchiaioli are not.
Yes. But also, I mean, I've seen some of the pictures and some of the paintings, and they seem very realistic. Like it really gives a true, almost like a photograph.
For me, they bring you exactly where you in the place that they portray. So and why I like them. You know, obviously they're from Tuscany, first of all. So obviously, it's a movement that started in Tuscany. So that was important to name our products after something that was Tuscan. That is very important. And then if you look at some of the paintings, you're transported back to that place, to that time. And that's exactly part of the idea behind Farinolio, was to transport people into a different place. And Macchiaioli transport yet those people, if they see those paintings, in a place that it's beautiful, that it's natural, that it's, you know, in the countryside, on the coast of Tuscany. So they're again, they're beautiful paintings, and for me, it was appropriate to find something that, not just cliche, like the name of a city in Italy.
Yes, yes.
You know, we could have used, polar sandwiches, Florence or Naples.
Yes.
That was the idea, is finding something that innovative, authentic, and also that embodied our soul, embodied our idea.
So talk a little bit about the sandwiches. So I know the one is like the Boldoni, right?
Boldini.
So these are the actual names of the painters?
Yes, these are actual names of the painter. So hopefully they would be happy to know that they're using their names.
So what are some of the sandwiches that you make here at Farinolio? Or Panino?
Signorini, which is one of Telemaco Signorini, one of the prominent painters in that movement, is our best sellers, by the way. So we make that with our Tuscan prosciutto, mozzarella, and tomatoes, and we add some basil. Then a Boldini that you mentioned before is salame golfetta and stracchino cheese.
I never heard of salame golfetta until you told me about it, which is a special type of salami, right?
Yes, it's a special type of salami that it's made with just one part of the animal. Salami is usually our mixed meat, so you just mix a different kind of meats and then pepper and spice them.
This polfetta is made just with the same part of the pork that used to make prosciutto. So it's very clean. There's no much junk, and it's very and it's one of the most expensive salami.
Also a salami that is only it's very regional. It's only to a certain area.
That salami starts actually outside of Tuscany, not in Tuscany, but in another region. If I remember correctly, and I don't even remember if it's Romagna or I think it's Emilia Romagna. So, but we decided to adopt it. That's why we sometimes deviate. And not everything necessarily needs to be from Tuscany. But and that salami is an example. The speck is another example.
Which is
a smoked prosciutto, mm-hmm. which is a northern product, mostly from the Trentino Alto Adige area,
yes,
close to Austria. So, in fact, there's influence. It's the smokiness of the meat mm-hmm. and the dryness of the meat. It's very Austrian and German, if you want.
Yes, yes.
But it's a great product. And we mix it with stracchino cheese, which is a soft cheese.
Yeah, now, let's just talk a little bit about the idea of this concept of eating with the season, which is very Italian.
Well, in principles, I think you want to eat the ingredients that are, especially the produce, that it's available in a season. So in Ona, use products that are not, tomatoes, for example, that are not, you shouldn't. We do here. So we sometimes break the rules in that regard. Otherwise, we would need to stop making a lot of products. But Italians usually eat with the season. So if an artichoke or it's available in a certain period of the year, that's when you eat artichokes. If you tomatoes are available only in a part of the year, that's what you eat. Because you capture the quality, the freshness, and the flavor that otherwise you would lose by not using something that is seasonal. So that's the reason why behind it. So it's not just because it's available, and it's also at the best
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because that's part of it.
So what do you think the draw is to Italian food in America? I mean, really, Italian is one of the most popular cuisines that are here in America. What do you think the draw is?
I think that Italy sells. Okay, so it always sold for different reasons. Because if you go to Italy, it's a country that you cannot love. So there's kind of this romance with Italy, where people have, oh, Italy, if it's Italy, it's, everything is beautiful. You eat very well. So if you go to Italy, you're going to eat very well. And then let's not forget that there's a huge and large Italian-American populations in the U.S. And I never disparage them, because they actually brought a lot of value to this country. You know, a lot of things we can say that were made in America that were made in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
They really came from Italy. So, but it's, at the same time, the cuisine, the Italian-American cuisine is very different from what you would find in Italy. It's usually rooted in the south, mm-hmm. southern part of Italy. But today, it's kind of disconnected of what the evolution that happens in those parts of Italy. So the traditional meatball, chicken parm, things that you wouldn't find even in the southern part of Italy these days. So, and that's why also the idea behind Farinolio was to be regional and not Italian. So we are, of course, Italian, but at the same time, to differentiate ourselves from the Italian-American, we also wanted to stress the fact that we are Tuscan, and the cuisine in Italy, it is regional.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. There's no such a thing as Italian cuisine. And I'm sure that applies to many other cuisines. There's no such a thing as Mexican or Chinese, because there are many, or it's French, because it's very regional.
It's very regional, yes.
And within regions of Italy, for example, the 20 regions in Italy, within Tuscan, you'll find products, as we said before,
yes,
the Schiacciatarluva,
yes.
Which is even micro region, so it's part of the region.
And I think even to a certain extent, even Italian-American cuisine can be regional in America. Like, there's different things that they make in certain parts of America, even like the whole sauce versus gravy debate, which is one that always that always gets me going. I think that the when the Italians came here, first came here in the end of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s, they had to adapt with what they had here in America.
Absolutely.
To what their taste was in Italy. So that's why, also, America being the land of plenty, there was a desire to kind of eat plentifully.
Yes.
To eat the meatballs and the chicken parm. Because really, parmigiana in Italy, it's really just very, very simple, very plain. It's not even, there's no mozzarella, there's no ricotta. Just really just like pan-fried eggplant. It's usually eggplant.
Yes.
A little bit of tomato sauce and some, maybe a little pecorino romano cheese. Very, very light, very simple. Here, we kind of, we make it big. We make it American in a way.
There are a couple of things that I think needs to be observed. One is that the Italian that came to America in the early 1900, we're coming from poverty, most of them. So they came from nothing and built something out of it. So finally they had plentiful, they had plenty of food. So that's why even the volume portions of food in Italian America tend to be very large.
Yes.
Which is not the case in Italy. So that's why there's the misconception, oh, Italians like to eat and eat too much. That's not true. But Italian-American do, because finally they found plenty of food that they could feed their families. And the second observation is that, let's not forget that these people came, they were not chefs. They were bringing their traditions, but they were peasants, and they did not bring, you know, styles of cuisine. They mixed the ingredients the way what they found here.
They adapted.
They adapted it.
Yeah.
So, and that's why it's different today from, you know, the cuisine, the Italian-American from the real Italian.
I love lasagna. I love meatballs and macaroni and all that great stuff. To me, it's delicious. I was raised with it. But I also appreciate the regionalism of true Italian cuisine. And I think that that's what's so beautiful. And I think that sometimes we get these misconceptions that, you know, that again, Italian cuisine has to be, you know, 25 courses and huge portions. But really, I think it's about the ingredients. The ingredients is number one.
Yes. And plus, again, food is it's culture. It's part of your culture. It's like growing, I criticize, but I look at my son. I have three kids, and one was born in the U.S., and he's the more half and half. And when he eats chicken parm and enjoy other products that I don't necessarily care for, I make fun of him. I said, that's your American part. But I make fun in a good way, because it's part of culture. Culture defines what you eat. So if you grow up with something, it becomes part of you, part of your culture. There's nothing wrong if you eat it. But at the same time, I didn't grow up here. I wasn't raised here. So for me, the Italian-American cuisine is something that doesn't belong to my culture. It's not part of me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't necessarily care for it the same way. I'll eat it,
mm-hmm.
But I don't care for it because I am used to different...
A different way.
Different way. So, and that's why I never criticize anymore,
mm-hmm.
because I respect any traditions, any cuisine.
Yeah. I appreciate it because, again, being Italian-American, but also because this is the food that my ancestors kind of had a hand in creating to a certain extent.
Yes, yes. And that's why I think it needs to be respected the same way.
Yeah. And take pride in the same way.
Take pride and do it well.
Yes.
And that's what I encourage, you know, when I see poor quality within Italian-American, I cringe, and that's not good. But that applies to everything. So make it the way that you learn and make it well. Use good ingredients to make it. And that's okay. You mm-hmm. know, I may not like the heavy sauce on my pasta or, the lasagna with tomatoes because mm-hmm. it's more southerner or ricotta, because the lasagna that I used to is lasagna bolognese, which is from Bologna, with ragu sauce.
Mm-hmm.
What we call ragu, by the way. Now, the difference of going gravy, which for me makes no sense because I don't even know gravy, it's not even an Italian word. But salsa al pomodoro, it's what we call the tomato sauce. Ragu is when we put meat.
Okay.
So that's a ragu.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two words that I grew up with.
Salsa e ragù.
Salsa e ragù. Mm-hmm. Then you can say passata al pomodoro. So if you peel the tomatoes, or remove all the peel from the tomatoes, then it's called passata, and you make it finer. That's another way to go, like the sauce, the tomato uh-huh. sauce, passata uh-huh. pomodoro, or pumarola, like they call in Naples.
Naples, yeah, pumarola.
Pumarola. So.
So talk a little bit also now about you've been doing a lot of events at Farinolio, either here or at the James
Ward Mansion. Yes.
So kind of talk a little bit about some of these events that you have coming up, or some of the past events that maybe you're going to be doing again.
So that's actually a new initiative that we started, and in fact, it has its own name. It's gonna be called Farinolio Cucina. You'll hear more about that. So because again, it expands from the same concept into a much larger variety of food, which we cannot make here. So Farinolio Cucina, we're starting with a partner from Northern Italy, Laura, which is going to be part of our group, and she's going to be heading and developing this component of us. And it's, again, creating events, doing events, corporate events, private events, but also events like the Taste of Tuscany we did last year, where we bring different kind of food and make them available for people, but not necessarily baked food, but all kind of food. Mm-hmm. And then once again, there are really four tenets in this, and I'm going to go back because they're very important. One is regionality. We're going to do more regions, so that's not going to be just Tuscany, but Farinolio Cucina will explore other regions of Italy. The experience, because I think it's important to experience food, and that's the part I think that many people outside of Italy or France, because the French are very light, like the Italians or the Spaniards as well. It's the way that you eat the food, where you eat the food, who you eat the food with. It's not just about feeding your stomach, but it's feeding your soul and experiencing that in a nice environment. That's why part of the decor was very important in this place when we designed this place and it launched Farinolio. The other two are the quality of the ingredients. That's everything. You need to start. So the number three tenet or pillar where I build Farinolio and Farinolio Cucina. And then the fourth is the sourcing of the ingredients and the history of the ingredients, understanding, connecting with those ingredients, not just eating the tomato, just understanding why is prosciutto toscano, why is it different from Parma? Explain it to me. And why is it tastier? Why is it more there's more pepper? Why there's more salt? Because each ingredient in Italy has a history.
Yeah.
And each dish that you eat has a history. And you want to connect with that. And I want people to connect with that. Not just say, oh, I'm eating Italian. No, I'm eating from Emilia Romagna. I'm eating from Bologna. I'm eating the lasagna bolognese. I'm eating a specialty, a cotoletta milanese. But I'm understanding why it is that way. And why certain ingredients are are different in Emilia in the north versus the south versus the central part of Italy.
What is your social media handles?
Social media, we do a lot of Instagram and Facebook. Mm-hmm. We're gonna expand to LinkedIn with Farinolio Cucina because we're gonna expand into corporate events as well. So those are the three key social medias. We're not yet ready to. For Twitter, and then blogging will be important.
Mm-hmm. And what is your website address?
Website is www.farinolio.com.
Okay.
And then there's going to be for Farinolio Cucina a separate one that is going to be www.farinoliocucina.com.
Okay. And it's Farinolio.
Correct. Okay. And that means it's a combination of farina e olio. So the word that we really literally came up with was taking two ingredients that are very important in what we make, so farina, flour, and oil, an extra virgin olive oil, and combine them in something that we could trademark.
And there is the man behind the kitchen here at Farinolio would be Tonino, right?
He is the genius in the kitchen.
He is the baker. He is the master baker.
He's the master baker. Yeah.
So talk a little bit
which
about...
Which is now busy, unfortunately, because I'd like him to talk a little bit.
But just talk a little bit about Tonino, about his experience. He comes from Italy.
Yes.
And you brought him here to America to help grow Farinolio.
Correct. So Tonino and I met through a mutual friend in Florence when I was looking to implement and do this project 6 years ago. And I was introduced to Tonino by these mutual friends. And initially, I think we clicked because we shared a lot of the same values. He was a master baker, loved quality and traditions. And it took about 5 years for him to finally decide, I'm going to move and sell this business and start it from scratch. Tonino is not 25. I'm not going to tell his age, but at the same time, he's not a kid anymore. But he decided to uproot his family. He has two kids and a wife, and move here to start this project with us as a partner. So, and he brings traditions and skills that are unfortunately also lost in parts of Italy, and that's why it's important. You know, behind the idea of this project is also the preservation of traditions that are going to disappear, unfortunately, in Italy as well. And in fact, Tonino's son is learning from him how to make it, because I want as many people to learn the trade and the business. I said, you're going to have a value in the future that will not be fine. So share with other people.
Yeah.
Preserve it. It's like a piece of art. You want to preserve the Mona Lisa in the Louvre, and you want to make sure that as many people as possible can see that painting. Make it available. And it's the same way. Make certain traditions available so that people can continue to see them and love them and appreciate them.
And to have that legacy.
It's a legacy.
I think legacy is an important thing, because even in the Italian-American community, we are losing so many of these icons, these institutions, because the kids don't want to carry on. So I think that is important to hold on to our legacy and to pass it on to the next generation.
Yes, and really care for the ingredients, care for the environment, and understand that good ingredients are not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot be cheap.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Starting this business not as a business, because I was never in the food business. I don't have anybody in my family in the food business. So I started this as a passion. My approach was different. I don't ever question my suppliers. You know, I see my suppliers as partners, and I tell them. I said, if you partner with me, we're going to have a good relationship. Otherwise, I'm going to switch.
Mm-hmm.
I never bug them on price that much, because I bug them on quality. And I need to adapt and price my products accordingly. And sometimes I underprice. But I want to make sure that I don't ask them and push them to lower the quality standards for me.
Yeah.
I say, I tell them, give me the best that you got. It costs. And if they tell me, well, it's expensive, that's okay. I understand it. Because that when it's a kind of a vicious circle. When you start pushing on, I want to spend less. Well, guess what happens is that distributors and suppliers are going to say, okay, we're going to give you a product that costs less.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not the idea behind Farinoli and Farinoli Cucina. The idea is to give you the best quality that we can find. And unfortunately, there are certain things that you cannot replicate. Example, produce. Go to Italy, taste a dish made with a produce from Italy. Even a pizza, simple as a pizza, with tomatoes from Naples.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be different from what you taste here.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
You cannot replicate the same.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You can have good quality, but it's not going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unfortunately something that you'll never be able to do. But there's certain products that you can bring, like flour. We bring the flour from Italy. The meats, we bring the meats from Italy. So anything that I can make it available, that it's available, I'm going to Italy, look for the best, and bring it here. And produce, obviously, that's... cannot be done.
No,
it would be very hard and very expensive.
Well, Francesco, I want to thank you so very, very much for inviting us into Farinolio today to talk to you a little bit about this amazing place here in Westfield, New Jersey. And really, I commend you for what you're doing here, because it is so important to give a taste of the regionalism of Italy, bring it to America, and like I said, I mean, it's early in the morning, but we're here early on a Saturday morning, and the place, people are coming in and out constantly, which is that's a testament to what you're doing, and I thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Again, for me it's important, for my kids it's important, for the community. We're trying to build a community. We're also trying to bring more people and businesses together, because I think that's another key component of the idea. It's community.
Yes, yes.
It's bringing people together.
Together.
Together. And that's why we believe in communal tables. We believe in the idea of the piazza. It's where people get together. You know, they talk, they exchange, they eat. And that's part of who we are. It's, you know, you don't want to change that.
No.
It's part of who we are. So I appreciate the community in Westfield welcoming us, and that's I thank the mayor, I thank the town, I thank all the other businesses that have been very nice to us for opening their arms to a new idea.
Yeah
New concept. So
again, I want to thank Francesco for inviting us into Farinolio. Check him out online, www.farinolio.com. that's f-a-r INOLIO.com. And from there, you can find their Instagram, their Facebook page, and some of the histories, the menu that they have here at Farinolio. And again, but come and visit. Come and visit. I mean, which also, I think one thing that's really great about Farinolio is we're sitting at this back, the table toward the back of the restaurant, and I'm looking at the master baker bake. I'm looking at Tonino working the ovens, and it really is, it's almost a show. It's almost a play in a way. It's theatrical to be able to watch the food being prepared literally right in front of you. So again, Francesco, thank you so very much for inviting us in. I'm Tony Mangia, Anthony Sciglia. This is At the Table with Tony. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Ciao for now.
At the Table with Tony would like to thank its sponsors. Rocco Muriale, Rob Quick, Joseph Cirillo, Raymond Guarini, Tom Gilmore, Oli G, Peter Ziza, Brian McGuire, Peter Ferreira, Rich Ottenstrauer, Anna Mavrianos, Antonio Pepinella, Anthony Ferraro, Sandra and Bob LaMotta, Mike Guero, The Italian Enclaves Historical Society,